Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's 103.2, available on the web at fm1032.com.au.
Christine Kane on the line to have a chat to us. How are you, Christine?
And I'm fantastic. Really, really pumped.
I understand you're a very busy, busy woman.
Well, hopefully not just busy but effective. But yeah, I got to say, we travel quite a lot, so I just got back into town.
Yes, I was actually going to say, a good question to probably ask you, Christine, where are you right now? So you are in Sydney?
I am. I'm here pumped up, ready for the Hillsong Conference, but I've kind of been away for the last 6.5 weeks all over the world, so it's been a great trip.
Where's the last place you were at?
In the States. I think I started in Europe and went round and ended up in the States, all for work. I'm just, it sounds like I had a great holiday. I wish.
Very good. Now, you've been described as a wife, a teacher, a preacher, an author, a mother of two beautiful daughters, I hear.
Yeah, that's probably my favourite job.
Now, that's a long list of things that make you up. But, you know, would you think that's a fair summary, just using those words? Or, you know, do you think there's more to add to that list? Or could you summarise your life?
Well, no, I don't know that you can, and I hope it's a constantly evolving thing, you know, and I think I have lots of different functions, but I'm a passionate lover of life, that's for sure, and I think, you know, functions change in all of that, but all of that's true and probably a whole lot more as well.
Now, I hear that the Christine Kane story is a pretty amazing one, which took a very interesting turn. I think it was around your 30s?
Yeah, oh, when I found out I was adopted, is that what you mean?
Yeah, that one. Yeah, that one. Yeah,
that kind of smart thing. Yeah, that actually happened 2 weeks before my 33rd birthday. So
really?
It was a little bit random, you know, to kind of grow up thinking, in a sense, your whole history is one thing, and then to literally find out, you know, your name, your heritage, your parents, your everything that you thought was a fact wasn't a fact. So it was interesting, yeah.
And how has that shaped you as a person today and your ministry?
Well, you know, I think for me, because I had a very strong faith in Jesus, you know, before I found out, it probably didn't, when I say phase me, I mean, definitely there were issues to work through, but I don't think it knocked me out like it could have, you know. I didn't realize, actually, to be honest, how big a deal it was until I started traveling and sharing that part of my story, and people all literally from all over the world would come and talk to me. And I mean, I'm talking like people who now are grandmothers who had given up their children for adoption 40 or 50 years ago, or people, your young people that had been found out they were adopted or grew up knowing they were adopted, and just sharing with me their stories of, a lot of them, just the pain they had to work through, the rejection, the issues of identity and significance. And I kind of then began to think, wow, this is probably a bigger deal than I thought, because I was so grounded in my faith and my identity in Christ, as opposed to who my biological parents were or perhaps what my background was, that even though I mean, I was shocked and had, a while of processing of, wow, you know, every fact that you think to be true changes. But the fact that my life was really built on the truth of the Word of God and not the facts of my circumstances anyway, I think really helped me to navigate that, you know what, although I don't know which womb I came out of, that before I ever got in whatever womb, that God knew me, He had a plan for my life, He had a purpose for my life. I think it just really made me evaluate, do I really believe what I preach and what I say I believe? And I think, to be honest, that whole experience actually showed me that I really believe it. I'm not just saying it.
Yeah.
At the core of my being, I actually really believe that God knew everyone before we ever got here, and that He's got a great divine plan and purpose for all of our lives. But then I realized through my travels and emails that the issues of identity it's a really big deal for people, and people carry pain for 40 and 50 years. And especially women, I've been stunned at how many older women have come up to me who gave their children away from adoption and have carried a lot, in many cases, a lot of guilt and condemnation, and just have carried that for 30 and 40 years. And I think my story helps to give people a lot of hope and really brings them back to the cross and just, you know, a place of faith and strength. So it's been just really, I didn't realize how powerfully God would use that to really help people. We've got actually lots of babies in our office. When I say that, I mean pictures of babies, of women who, as I started sharing my story, actually we've got emails and pictures of people that have said, I was booked in to terminate this pregnancy, but because I heard your story and saw you standing there, I couldn't. And then they send us pictures of their babies that they've had and then put up for adoption or kept in their families. And to me, every one of those makes all our travels and all the sacrifice worthwhile.
Of course, you are traveling all around the world. How did you come about, you know, doing that?
Well, you know, I think through, honestly, the best way I could say it is I've just spent years serving in our local church, and out of that, God has just opened up opportunities. I've always had a heart for the nations, a heart for mission, a heart for serving people, and as I've stayed faithful, I guess, with what God put in my hand in a local context, God began to open up doors of opportunity. And 17 years ago, you know, those doors were by me traveling around doing youth conferences and then taking over Youth Alive here in New South Wales. And then nationally, I began to do more and more youth work and outreach work and schools work. And that, and I guess also because I'm a woman, and back then, you know, I've been doing this for nearly 20 years now, there wasn't that many women. And so it was, I think, always a great thing that, wow, you know, the medium's the message. If we can have a woman perhaps modelling this, other young women can see this as a role model and see this as a possibility. I mean, nowadays we have a ton of women, but, you know, back then it wasn't that common. And so I think God, as I walked through doors of opportunity faithfully, God then began to increase it from, you know, a local context to a statewide and then national, and nowadays international. You know, my husband and my two kids and I, we travel at least 3 weeks out of every month on every continent and helping to build local churches all around the world. And also we are very involved in, we have an anti-human trafficking initiative in Eastern Europe, and so we are very, very involved in helping to abolish that injustice and really deal with the issue of human trafficking and seeing that just stopped.
Because, yeah, the ministry that you are involved with is called Equip and Empower, and, yeah, one of your mission statements is to build the local church globally. But what does that mean exactly, and how do you go about doing that?
Well, I think it just, it can mean whatever helps a church in its local context. So we're very involved in just helping build leaders. I mean, you know, obviously I've been part of the Hillsong Church for 20 years. It's my church. It's kind of the house that I've come out of. So I think a lot of it is helping to take principles of church leadership and growth that I've learned serving under our pastors and my husband and I have learned, and helping to implement that into churches that really want to grow and be more impacting and effective in their local communities. And I think a lot of it is helping churches become missional, empowering of young people, empowering of women, helping to transform their community. And I think, and are really committed to changing their culture and affecting and impacting their culture. And not just doing sort of church on Sunday and being a dead religious institution, but being the church 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and bringing change to their community.
Now, Christine, I've read that you're known for telling it like it is. What is it? And how are you telling it?
How funny is that? Definitely I'm not. You'll never be left wondering what I'm meaning to say, you know, in a message. And all of that is, I think truth sets people free, and the Bible says that if we abide in his word, then we'll know the truth and the truth will set us free. And I think sometimes we like to sugarcoat it. And for me, it's more like, you know, I've come from a background of challenge and having to overcome a lot of obstacles and hurdles. So it's like, you look, I just know that this works. And if you just cut to the chase and really applied it, it really would work. And a lot of times I think we look for excuses of why things aren't working or why we don't do certain things. And so for me, definitely, I'm very, very focused on, look, this is what the truth says. And if we really were obedient to this, you would find breakthrough in your life. So I think that's, you know, people just kind of laugh and go, wow, Chris, you're pretty straight. So straight doesn't mean not having compassion or love, but it just means that it is straight, that's for sure.
Absolutely. What's probably one of the biggest things as your spiritual journey that's impacted you?
Well, I think for me is, well, there's so many different things, but obviously the realization that I could have a personal relationship with Jesus, I think that's the first thing that comes to mind with me, because I grew up very staunch Orthodox in a religious culture, and so I knew a lot about religion and rules and regs. And but to be honest, the whole concept of an intimate, personal, daily relationship with the Creator of the universe, to be honest, 20 years later, it still blows me away that we have that opportunity. And, you know, so God's given us a lot of opportunities. I've lived a life and am living a dream bigger than anything I think I could have ever imagined. But all of that pales to, like, all the doing pales to the fact that we get to be in intimate relationship with Jesus. I think that just still amazes me.
That's great. Now, we're going to get to see you at the Hillsong Conference next week. What role will you be playing there?
Well, I've got the great privilege at a conference of hosting the Community Action and Evangelism faculty. And so that's, you know, the passion closest to my heart is reaching the lost and serving the poor and the marginalized and the oppressed and bringing justice to a very, very unjust world. And so I will speak a couple of sessions myself on, you know, evangelistic preaching and altar calls, and also host a session on human trafficking. But a lot of what I do is just to help facilitate the different aspects of our faculty, which, you know, is fantastic. We've got great people like Joyce Meyer speaking, obviously, that most people know her, and, you know, she personally says that she believes the reason she's had the opportunity to have such a great impact on the planet is not necessarily just her preaching, but it's all the work that they do for the poor and the marginalized, and the outreach and the missions, which is a huge focus of Joyce Meyer Ministry, Hand of Hope, which is their mission arm, and that is humongous. So we are excited and honored that we will be hosting her in the faculty as well as obviously throughout the conference. And then and just really fantastic practitioners that are doing amazing things on the ground. A guy that I'm really excited about is Pastor Dino Rizzo from Louisiana, who heads a whole project called Servolution, which I just love that whole word. And it's all about mobilizing the church with not just a love revolution, but a love revolution exemplified through service and a servolution. And I think we're going to hear that phrase a lot in the future, because if we can understand, Jesus said that the Son of Man came to serve, not just to be served, but to serve. Mm. And that if we as Christians and the body of Christ truly learn what it is to serve our communities without any strings attached, but because we are so motivated and compelled by the love of God, then we will literally reach, impact, and change our world. And so I'm excited about him just introducing the whole concept of a servolution and some of the great innovative projects that they're doing through their church. And I mean, I could keep here, you know, all night with story after story of just the fantastic practitioners. That's what I love about Hillsong, is we don't have just the great, big, fantastic meetings, but then we break it right down into very, very practical electives where people can come and be empowered to really make a change in their world, because really the whole week is about empowering people to make a difference in their part of the world. And that's why I think it's such just a unique and distinct conference, which is awesome.
Christine Kane, she's up for the challenge of the 120 seconds of getting to know you quiz bonanza. Are you excited, Christine?
I am pumped and ready to go.
Well, let's get into it then. I always like to say that I have to dim the lights like Eddie from Who Wants to Win a Millionaire, but we're not in the same room right now, so if you can just go, or maybe turn off the lights where you're at.
Okay.
We can then get into it. All right. Christine Kane, what's your full name?
Christine Kane.
Oh, there you go. If you could be a Muppet, which Muppet would you be?
Kermit.
Oh, nice. Last film you saw?
August Rush.
What are you most afraid of?
Not fulfilling my purpose.
Beef or chicken?
Beef.
Eye colour?
Brown.
If you could be any movie character, who would you be?
Devil Wears Prada, Miranda.
Oh, nice. Prefer summer or winter?
Summer.
What colour is your bedroom carpet?
Creamy, neutral.
Favourite day of the week?
Oh, every day.
What time do you usually go to bed?
Late-ish.
What's the last person you went to dinner with?
My husband.
Your worst habit?
Okay, this is where I'm stuck. My worst habit is talking non-stop and not breathing.
Oh, I know that one. Favourite food?
Greek.
Favourite ice cream?
Coffee, gelato.
Oh, nice. What do you do when you're bored?
Rarely happens. Get on board really quick.
Favourite flower?
Rose, but I've done my time, haven't I?
You have done your time, but I was actually going to... My very last question was, which you've already kind of answered, was your favourite food. I was going to ask you, what's your favourite Greek food?
Well, lots of different ones. I love tarama, I love tzatziki, which are all more dips or moussaka. Any Greek food. I grew up on that stuff.
Yes, the Greek food is good. And are you good at Greek dancing?
You know what? I would shock you.
In what way? The good way or the bad?
Because I'm very, very good.
Oh, really?
At my 40th birthday party, I took everyone out to a Greek restaurant and we just danced for about 5 hours, Greek dancing. I love it.
It is a lot of fun. Do you do the dips and stuff like that?
I did the whole nine yards. Yeah. I didn't speak English until I was five, so I grew up very, very Greek.
Really?
Yeah.
That must be very interesting when reading, say, the New Testament in Greek.
Well, it is, except it's in Koine Greek and no one speaks that Greek, so I sort of have more modern Greek.
Oh, very good. Christine, it's been fantastic catching up with you.
Thank you. Hey, I really appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed this Sydney's 103.2 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit fm1032.com.au.